Today's scripture reading will be coming from Acts 9, 10 through 15. Acts 9, 10 through 15. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and he said to the said, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, here I am. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive sight. And Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done the saints to thy saints of Jerusalem, and here he hath authority for the chief priest to bind all that call thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. Therefore the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel.
Good morning. You know, Ben asked me to do this a couple of months ago, and I told him, sure, yeah, I'd do it, but I look out across the audience here, and I see all the people qualified more than me that should be up here doing this, and I feel like, man, I drew the short straw, but I'm going to get it done. Ben sent me a text message yesterday afternoon, basically said, good luck, I know you'll do fine, and hope things go well for you for your sermon tomorrow. And I thought about it for a second, and I replied back to him, what are you talking about? I thought that was next week. He didn't reply for a long time. Anyway, today's title has to do with courage, and it's probably more for me than everybody sitting out in the audience today. It's something that's real important in my life. And people that have been in my family is having courage to do the right thing and stand up for the right thing. You know, when I was a kid, I grew up in McAllister, Oklahoma, and my mom was a school teacher. But while I was in elementary school, she taught it in a little town at a little school in Haytheville, Oklahoma, which is about 15 to 20 miles west of town, no, east of town. And so every morning we would get up and do the day of the routine of eating breakfast and getting dressed. And me and my brother would fight a little bit, and then we'd get in the car and we'd drive to school. Well, I remember at least once a week while we're driving to school that we'd be listening to the radio, and we'd listen to Paul Harvey and the Rest of the Story. Now, those of you that were born in 19-something like myself, you can probably relate to that. And others, if you weren't, then you've missed out on a really, really great piece of Americana there. But Paul Harvey told a story about courage that stuck with me from about second grade until, you know, to now, and I'd like to share that with you for just a second. He starts off, it's a story about a man named Ray Blankenship. And as Ray gazed out his window one morning, he saw a small girl being swept along a flooded drainage ditch. Ray knew that the ditch disappeared not far from his house and went underneath the road. And after that, it emptied into an even larger culvert. Ray figured out real quick that he was the girl's only chance of survival. So Ray rushed out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the drowning child. Not being able to reach her from the bank, he hurled himself into the deep, churning waters. Blankenship surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled end over end. Within about 3 feet of the yawning culvert, Ray's free hand felt something possibly protruding from underneath him, and it was a rock. And so he grabbed it, and he thought to himself, if I can just hang on until help arrives, he thought. He did better than that. And by the time the fire department arrived, Ray had pulled the girl to safety, and both were treated for shock. Later that year, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard's Silver Lifesaving Medal. a fitting award since Ray was actually at greater risk than most people knew. For you see, Ray Blankenship could not swim. And it took the courage to do something that he knew would possibly cost him his life. Our lesson this morning, as Matthew read earlier, comes from Ananias and how the Bible talks about chosen people who are willing to answer God's call. And it's an essential characteristic all throughout the Bible. The Webster's Dictionary defines courage as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. That's what the dictionary says. Ben Williams will be happy with me, and I'm going to quote his favorite writer, C.S. Lewis. Says, courage simply is one of the virtues, is not simply one of the virtues, but the form of every virtue and testing at the testing point. And perhaps my father-in-law's favorite person to quote would be John Wayne. He says, courage is being scared to death, such as myself, and saddling up anyway. We see early in the Old Testament that God's children were to be children of courage. And there's a few examples that I'm going to kind of cover this morning. Before his death, Moses challenged the children of Israel to have courage, as we read in Deuteronomy 31:6. He said, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For your Lord God, he is one with who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Here Moses tells the source of his courage is our faith in God and the fact that he will never leave nor forsake us. When you have someone like God in your corner, there's no need to fear other people. In the New Testament, Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:28, do not fear for those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. I think most of us here have experienced the fear of others from time to time. Instead of speaking out for God, we hold our words inside. And I know I'm guilty of that, just as many of us probably are. But as we can see, God's words calls us to become more bold and courageous when it comes to defending God's truth and righteousness. I like what the Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 28:1. He says, the wicked will flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, being courageous is not just a mere suggestion. It's something that all Christians are to work toward. We have to work at it. It's not something that's going to be easy. You know, when Paul was talking to the Corinthians, he said, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all you do be done with love. Here we see Paul commanding these Corinthians, the Christians at Corinth, to watch and stand fast in the faith. And when I read that, the first thing I think is, how does one stand fast in the faith and not compromise it when the going gets tough? It's by being brave and strong. It sometimes goes against the majority. But if we want to stand fast in the faith and bring glory to God, sometimes we have to be courageous enough to stand up to the majority and let them know that what they're doing is not right in the sight of God. I also want you to notice that even though we are to be courageous and bold, we are to guide our actions based on love, not brutality. This means that being courageous doesn't give us the license to be arrogant or condescending. And Paul makes an example of that in Colossians 4:6. Paul says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you know how you ought to answer each one. When you read the Old and New Testament, you find all kinds of examples of godly men and women who had this type of courage, and they were bold. They did so out of love. But for our time this morning, I want to focus on Ananias and the courage that he had to be as a Christian. I read through the story a couple of times, and a couple of things stood out to me as far as Ananias himself and the request that was made upon him, what to go do. And that's kind of the basis of where I've got this lesson from this morning. His courage caused Ananias to be ready. Acts 9:10 tells us, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And Ananias simply replied, here I am, Lord. I like this because when the Lord speaks to Ananias, he responds quickly, here I am, Lord. He doesn't hesitate. He doesn't wait. He doesn't run. Here I am. I'm ready to go. His response reminds me of other faithful men in the Bible that you can read of. For example, Samuel, back in 1 Samuel, the Lord, it says, now the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Again, when the Lord spoke to Samuel, he didn't shun, he didn't back away. Here I am. Isaiah, I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. You see, God's people should always be ready to listen to God's word and be doers of his word. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that God speaks to us directly today. However, he does speak loud and clearly to us through our Bibles. The written word that he's given to us speaks loud and clear. We should have the same attitude when we see the opportunity to take heed to God's word. Which brings us to James. A lot of times people will want to hear the word, but not necessarily do the word. James tells us, be doers of the word, not only hearers. So we can see clearly that Christians must always be ready. There are several things that we need to do to become ready and to stay ready. First thing is, we need to be ready to tell people why we believe what we believe. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you a reason for hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. This means we need to be prepared, a prepared people. That it's imperative that we study our Bibles faithfully and that our lives reflect what is found in God's Word. Sometimes we have to be ready to preach the gospel to others. It says it pretty loud and clear in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Again, one cannot preach what they do not know. One cannot teach what they do not know. Which goes back to the necessity of studying your Bible, as Paul commands Timothy to do. He says, study to show thyself approved to God, approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to know what we're going to teach and what we're going to preach before we can begin doing it effectively. We need to be ready to do good unto all men. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. We need to strive always to be hearers of God's word, and then strive to act upon it. Now back to Ananias. Sometimes courage requires deep thought. In the story of Ananias, when Jesus came to him, the Lord said to him, said, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias simply answered to him, Lord, I have heard about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And I also hear that he has authority from the chief of priests to bind all who call on your name. Some people can look at that as Ananias trying to find a way out of doing what he was told to do. I'll take a little bit different look at it. Here we see Jesus wants Ananias to go to Saul and to heal him of his blindness. this causes Ananias to really think about the situation, because he's heard all about Saul. He knows Saul's a bad guy. Saul's done bad stuff. Saul's the guy that's tried to destroy the Christianity. He realized also that by going to the house where Saul is, it could end up costing him his life, either by Saul himself or possibly being bound up and taken to the chief priest. It's only human nature to fear for one's own life. And so Ananias, to me, is not necessarily trying to get out what God's asking him to do. To me, I think he's making absolutely sure that Jesus wants him to go see the man who's trying to destroy Christianity. I think we can learn several lessons from this. First, it's important that we put some thought into how we're going to be courageous. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. This goes right back to the importance of studying our Bibles and anticipating a situation we might find ourselves in. How to deal with those situations. I can promise you, if you've already thought of a situation that you might find yourself in and you've prepared yourself for that, you will be a lot more confident to handle that particular situation when and if it ever arises. If you haven't prepared for a situation, you're most likely going to fail and not handle it very well when it comes to spreading the gospel. Another thing we learn here is that it's natural for humans to have fear. For instance, how many times, which includes myself, have we wanted to talk to a loved one about God, but we were afraid what they might think? I'm guilty of that. I'm sure many of the rest of us are too. How many times have we thought about talking to our fellow employees, but we were afraid they might wind up getting mad at us? How many times have we wanted to talk to our neighbor next door, but we couldn't find enough courage to go talk to them about the gospel? All of us have faced fears because we're human. God wants us to grow in our Christianity to the point that we can learn to overcome these fears. Paul teaches this concept in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the power of love and of a soul mind. So we should always try to be courageous and realize if God's with us, who can be against us? Now, one more thing to point out about being courageous doesn't mean you can't run from a particular situation in order to save your life. I really doubt in our day and age right now here in Glenpool, Oklahoma, that we'll have to run for our lives. But there's some examples here where men of the Bible fled for their lives so they could go on and preach another day. Elijah in 1 Kings 19. He fled after he killed the prophets of Baal. Fled for his life. Jesus even fled on occasions. You can read in John 8:59. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. We're not calling Jesus a coward by any means whatsoever. What we're saying is he had the forethought and the knowledge of, if I'm going to preach another day, I need to get in a better situation here. Paul fled for his life many times as the Jews kept following him from city to city trying to kill him. So this tells us we need to be realistic with our courage by studying the situation and making righteous judgments. It's important that we base our own judgments according to God's word. Ananias, his courage caused him to be receptive to God's word. In Acts it says, "But the Lord said to him, to Ananias, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show you how many things he must suffer in my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here again, we once see Ananias clearly understood what Jesus wanted him to do. He was ready and willing to do it. He had set his fear aside. Ananias may not fully understand God's purpose here, but he was willing to do it anyway. We need to understand that there will be sometimes we come to a command in the Bible that our human thinking, in our human thinking, we wonder why it should be done that way. We start thinking, this is the way we need to remember that the Lord often has a higher purpose than our limited minds can grasp. Isaiah said in Isaiah 55, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways are your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but they water the earth and make it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I have sent it. It's important that we take these words to heart and to learn and trust in God's infinite wisdom and allow him to direct our steps and not to allow our own emotions, our own human reasoning, to reject God's word. Proverbs 3:5. Whoops, I already read that, didn't I? How about that one? Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, I want you to think about the courage it took for Ananias to go to Saul like God commanded. This is the same courage every Christian should learn to have so that God's will be done. Ananias' courage helped bring about amazing and great results. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight, and he arose and he was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples in Damascus. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those of us who called on his name in Jerusalem? And has he come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them abound to the chief priest? And then Saul increased all in more in strength, and he confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. It's just another point of reinforcing why Ananias wanted clarification of, you want me to go and see this guy who has done all these bad things to the Christians. This teaches us a great lesson, never to give up on trying to convert people to God's truth. Because the one that converts, that may be the one you think won't amount to much, but may go on to become the most successful soul winners we have ever seen. Wrapping up this morning, I hope this lesson has shown you that Christians need to be full of courage and bold when it comes to standing fast in the faith and defending God's word. By studying the life of this great man, we can see courage pleases God. We need patience and tact, but we also need courage in this day and age. Our elders need courage to take stands and contend for the truth. Our preachers need courage to open their mouths and preach the gospel. Our members need courage to support the elders and the preachers in the proclamation of the truth. It takes courage to break away from whatever is keeping us from Christ. And at this time, we'll offer the Lord's invitation. If there's anything the church can do for you, such as prayers or needs of the church, or you need to put the Lord on in baptism, come now as we stand and sing.